B64.
Number 1A.
Well, this morning we take the subject of the chart. Many students have asked me last Sunday if I would deal with the chart and various aspects of the chart. The chart is really, as I said, not a really happy terminology. We should rather call it the model of being, but that's a long term, so sometimes we just call it chart. So if in the next few hours I talk about the chart, you know that it is really that model of being, which you have in the study aid on page 63. So if you have that page in front of you, you will be helped to follow what I'm going to explain. All right? Now, this model of being contains, so to say, in one view, the whole of the system of Christian Science. It contains the three categories of being of capitalized terms and tries to show the interrelationship of those three categories as the model of being. I also want to point out this very important fact that Christian Science will and must have a history, and that also Christian scientists must and will have a history. I say that because what is here presented on that chart is the end product of a long history of the spiritual idea of Christian Science. Therefore, it is best understood when one contemplates it in its historical development, so that one knows how the chart came into being, how that chart developed step by step over many, many years. Also, we begin to see that when a spiritual idea of fundamental order develops itself, that impact from God always comes to everyone in the same order. Because God is order, and because God is scientific order, that order comes to us, that heavenly order comes to us in the scientific ordered way. Therefore, if we contemplate the history of this chart, we also contemplate our individual way of understanding, so that we cannot say we start at the end, but that we see that we must go through the same development of the idea as the idea unfolded. But naturally, when we look back to history, we can see this idea in the time concept over many, many years, over long periods. It has taken long periods in order that this chart crystallized, so that we don't have to think that we have to go through the same long periods. You only have to go along the same order in understanding. And naturally, because history has trodden that way, we already know what the way is, whereas those who had first to pioneer in that way did never know what would be the next step and what would be unfolded. We today know what is the next step, and therefore are guided in an ordered way in our understanding and demonstration. So if I relate how this idea came into being, I actually also give a syllabus how the student himself can really go that way and begin to understand the whole model of being. As I said, it came into being over a long period. That means that the understanding of God came step by step in an ordered way. So what we contemplate first is the way of understanding how the light of God broke on human consciousness and began to reveal step by step the further development of understanding. Only then, when in our understanding we have gone the way up to the throne of God, up to the climax of that chart, up to the point where we see that it is all, that it has all to do with the Infinite One, only then can we go out from the Infinite One and in the way of demonstration then see how that Infinite One translates itself to every level of existence and of human consciousness, even down to the level of material consciousness. So let's first go the way of understanding, the ascending way. Also a side remark, when you study carefully John Dolly's books, especially the books on the Bible and on the Old Testament also, you will always see that time and time again he would come back in between the biblical explanation, he would come back and say, there is an ordered way of understanding. And then perhaps in a shorter or longer way, he would describe this ascending way of understanding. And he made quite an impression on the student thought that he has to go that way because it is a scientific, ordered, revealed way. So if we want to be a follower of John Dolly, or if we want to see that what John Dolly began to realize in the textbook, that therefore we have to take this indication and these instructions very serious and really follow what he has taught. Now, how did this understanding evolve? You know that way back in 1914, as I told you before, and as you have read before, but for the sake of showing the whole picture, I start there again, that John Dolly began first to see that the days of creation have an irresistible order. The idea that there is order in being which can be understood was absolutely new at that point. Up to that point, every Christian scientist would say, yes, naturally, God is ordered, God has order. Naturally, everything in God's universe happens according to order and law, but they would never know what that order, what that law is. So it is quite a different thing to say and to be convinced that being is ordered and lawful, and on the other side, to know exactly what that order, what those laws are. So when John Dolly introduced that in 1914, he began to see that really the student's thought starts out with the first day of creation, at that point where the student's thought begins to see some light, let there be light. And he began to realize that that is not just a single fact, that that is not just a isolated truth, but that the moment the student's thought is touched by the first day of creation, by the influx of light, either as the revelation of an idea or the inspiration of an idea, that then that idea has within itself also the second day of creation, namely that has in within itself the power of unfoldment, the power that would separate that which is of an ideational universe from that which is of a matter sense of universe. And so the second step was revealed as that idea, that light that begins to unfold and purify a situation, that when an idea begins to unfold and purify a situation and therefore in that process excludes everything that is foreign to God's nature, that then more and more the identity of that idea is being brought forth, crystallizes itself, the third day of creation, that soul defines then the pure identities of being. And so he began to see that when that happens, and when the pure identities of being appear, that they are working within a whole system, that they are not working as isolated ideas, but that they are contained in a system, the fourth day of creation, where the symbolism of the fourth day tells us something about the government of the one principle governing all ideas, something about the classification of all ideas and the system of all ideas, giving us a sense that every idea is integrated into a whole system and therefore related to all other ideas. As that happens and we begin to have a system, then the fifth day always comes in and says, now go and apply it, go and practice it, use that system, that the method of life, and gives a sense of application of that system, of using it so that it exalts us above the material concept of the universe, that is exalting us like the fifth day, like the fowls in the earth that rise above the earth into the open firmament of heaven. And he could see that it is an open firmament of heaven, that, and see the system of ideas, that there is no boundaries anymore for the multiplication of that system through the calculus of ideas. And that would always lead finally to the sixth day of creation, where only ideas therefore are working within ourselves, within our consciousness, and we get more and more a consciousness of ideas. Man as God's consciousness of himself. Man therefore just as an image and likeness of that what God is conscious of himself. And that gives a sense of the sixth day of creation, the form of manhood, the consciousness of the true man, so that finally we have arrived at the crown of creation, the sixth day, so that there is no more a further creative ability, but something within us that says, I got it, the idea has fulfilled itself, and I rest in that consciousness of perfection and fulfillment. And so he could see how the divine order that comes down from heaven brings us first at the point of mind a little bit of light. That light unfolds in the second day. That light identifies itself in the third day. That light is seen in a system in the fourth day. That light is multiplying itself in the fifth day. That multiplication of life gives us a whole calculus of ideas, a whole consciousness, the generic man, the compound idea man, and finally we see what we are, and that puts us at peace and at rest in the seventh day. So this was the very first thing that John Dolly began to realize. At that point he did not combine that with the seventh synonymous term or see them related to the seventh synonymous term. He just saw first the days of creation, a touch, as we see now retrospectively, of the word order, which is the very first thing in the chart that we have. We start in the ascending way on the level of Christian Science with the word, which is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. But as I said at the beginning, the thought was guided by the days of creation and not so much by the seven synonymous terms, so that inductively, really from the biblical renderings, one began to feel something about the creative word order, about the creative order, the law of creativity. As John Dolly began to think about these things, you know, it is always was a matter of years, and not just of a few days or a few hours, but ponder that and ponder that, he began to realize that Mrs. Eddy says that these 7 days of creation are really numerals of infinity. And he began to realize that there must be a difference between days of creation and numerals of infinity. That days of creation would give a becoming sense. Can you say that? A becoming sense, how things come into being. Whereas the numerals of infinity show an isness sense, no more a creative sense, a becoming sense, how things come into being, but an isness sense where he saw that Mrs. Eddy indicates on the seventh day that actually this process of the 7 days of creation is not the process in time, but that they only symbolize the numerals of infinity, therefore the numerals of eternity, so to say, of isness, that actually there is no creative process going on in being, but that being is a state of isness. And he began to see that more and more when he suddenly realized that the third degree of the translation of immortal mind has 7 characteristics, namely wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness, that these two would indicate a sevenfold development. That everything starts with wisdom, that wisdom will bring purity into the situation until finally we spiritually understand that situation. When we spiritually understand the situation, it has within itself spiritual power and begins to work on us and demand that love with a small L that demands that we lay down the false concept of being, and that if we lay down the false concept of being, that spiritual power of principle would at the point of truth really give us health, and that is a state of holiness. So in this way he began to see again that also in the textbook, in the third degree, Mrs. Eddy indicates really those 7 stages, but much more in a positive way, much more indicating the numerals of infinity. Not yet showing the numerals of infinity, but giving a bridge to the numerals of infinity. And so you know that he began to see that Genesis order in the commandments, than in the Beatitudes, than in the Lord's Prayer, and began to be convinced that really this order is fundamental in being, that all through the ages, be it now the Old Testament, be it now Beatitudes and Prayer in the New Testament, be it now the third degree in the textbook, that there is always that same divine law at work that orders every advancing step. So finally, he tried to symbolize this order in his own terminology, and that very fundamental order, which is called creative ability, then second, unfoldment, third, identity, then fourth, classification, then fifth, individualization, then sixth, consciousness, and seventh, unity with God. That has taken about 20 years or over 20 years to realize. I hope this is very balm to your heart, that you see that sometimes ideas take a long time to crystallize clearly and purely. And so it was also with John Dorley at that time, until finally he began to realize that there must be scientific terms and not terms of creativity that would really symbolize this order. And he found it by seeing that the scientific aspect of that order would be that mind says, let there be law. That spirit says, let there be order in that law. That soul says, let there be rules in that law. That principle would say, let there be system in these laws. That life would say, let there be method in that law. And that truth would say, let there be form or gestalt or formation, the form, in the true sense, the formula of that law. And that finally, love would say, and that law had right from the beginning a great plan in view, that love chose the plan of that law. So I would say that in this way he got, so to say, the bridge from the days of creation to the numerals of infinity, from that sense that there is order in development, and now to the sense that there is order in science, in being, and not just in development, which is indicated through the numerals of infinity. All that happened parallel with one another over those nearly 25 years, until finally he could see, actually I must be correct here, he always had some inkling that those 7 days of creation, in whatever symbolism, had something to do with the seven synonymous terms. Well, that is quite natural. If you have 7 days and you have seven synonymous terms, you think, don't they have something in common? But up to 1938-39, he couldn't quite see the correlation of them exactly. Because when he was studying the synonymous term, as all the teachers would study at that time, all the students would study at the time, they would take the concordance and would look up what is mind, what is spirit, he would find that somehow things don't click properly. That he would see that mind is power, and then that also spirit is power. Also that principle is power, and that life is power, and that truth is power, and that love is power. So that he could see, well, it seems that all the synonyms are power. And therefore, power cannot be something that is characteristic for one synonymous term. And yet he had the feeling something is not quite clear in this reasoning. That there must be something that has not been seen properly. And so in 38-39 he made up his mind that with a group of students, with a group of teachers and practitioners, he would investigate now properly and deeply the meaning of the seven synonymous terms. And it's only at that time where we found the rules ruling the text interpretation of these terms. And you know those rules. You know that that which has sidetracked everyone in the movement, or every student that were studying the synonymous term, was that we could not see up to that time that there is a calculus of the synonymous term, that we can calculate power with each of the synonymous terms, and not only with one synonymous term. But we found then naturally the rule when, and only when, power is calculated with another synonymous term than mind. that power is fundamental to mind and only to mind, but then if we calculate with the power of mind according to specific and determined situation, we would have to speak about the power of spirit, the power of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. All that you have now in my book on the seven synonymous terms. I went quite deeply into explaining these rules of interpretation. But I would say that actually that winter, 1938-39, was that time when the door was opened and one could finally go further into the realm of science itself. One has found, with the seven synonymous term, the fundamental order of being. So we studied those synonymous terms just as you did, and we're trying to see that every synonymous term had its absolute specific characteristics that determine really the meaning, the concept, the tonality of a synonymous term.